A court ruling in Prince George sets new precedent for the rights of transgender children in Canada. It started after an 11-year-old in the city began taking a drug that staves off puberty in order to help transition from female to male. The father disagreed with the treatment and took his concerns to court. Barbara Finley is the lawyer for the youth, and she joins us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just gave a brief summary of the case, hoping you can expand on it this morning. To start, what sort of treatment was this child receiving and why?
What happens for youth who are beginning puberty and realize that they were assigned the wrong gender when they were born is that they are given a drug which is called a puberty pausing hormone. It's the name of it is Lupron. And the result of taking it is that a child doesn't go through puberty in the gender they were born into or assigned at birth, and they don't go through puberty in their affirmed gender either. After a couple of years or so, when it's appropriate in the judgment of the medical people, this child would be given a drug to take him through puberty in his affirmed gender. So he would be given testosterone.
And the mother was supportive, continues to be supportive, of her child transitioning. The father was not. What happened?
With the issue that was before the court was that the father, this time, said he didn't want his child to have a lawyer, and in particular to have me as a lawyer, in the proceedings that were happening, because he felt that the child was being influenced by transgender activists, including me. And so he wanted the child not to have a lawyer, and he wanted the child to have assessments by mental health professionals other than the ones who are experts in transgender issues.
What happened next?
So he was denied that application. The court said that the mother was better able to assess the child's best interests. A previous court had ordered that dad refer to the child by male pronouns and by his male name. Dad was not doing so, even in court. And so the judge concluded that he wasn't acting in the child's best interests. However, because of the child's age, the child was 11, he ordered that that a litigation guardian be appointed. A litigation guardian is another adult who oversees the court case and helps the child make decisions about the case. But the court said, this child has a right to be a party to this proceeding. You see, it was a case between mom and dad.
Less about this child.
It wasn't framed at all as being about the interests of the child. But we argued that, in fact, it was directed at the rights of the child to get the medical treatment that he needs. And you may know that in British Columbia, in fact, in all Canadian provinces, if a child understands the nature of medical treatment and the consequences or side effects there might be from taking it, then the child is the only person who is entitled to consent.
Well, I want to ask you a little further about that. Is this not too much responsibility for an 11-year-old?
Well, first of all, transgender children know nothing with more certainty than what gender they are. Just like if I said to you, how do you know you were a woman? And when did you first decide to become a woman? Those are unanswerable questions because it's just who you are, right? So for the child. The child knew as clearly and as implacably that is how he was born. And so it isn't really a big responsibility for the child to make a decision about what medical treatment he needs. On the contrary, it's a vast relief for the child that such a medical regime is available to prevent him from the dread, the horror of going through puberty in a gender which is not his.
Barbara Frindley, this case goes beyond this one individual. It also sets legal precedent. Can you tell us a little bit about how this changes possible future court cases?
Well, for transgender kids, it's a great case because it establishes that they have a right to consent. The general law has always said kids can consent to treatment on the basis I've described, but there hasn't been a specific case about transgender kids and medical treatment. So it is terrific that trans kids and their care providers know that mom and dad don't have to agree before they get treatment. It will be especially important for the care providers, actually, to know that they won't get sued if they treat children whose parents are not supportive. And the second thing it's established, again for the first time, is that if that right to treatment is challenged, then the transgender kid has the right to go to court and defend their constitutional right to have treatment of that kind.
In terms of your own clients, this young person in Prince George, what happens next?
The court case is not over. This hearing was only about what representation my client was going to have. What the next steps will be are a bit up in the air, because it depends on who takes what next step.
Any predictions about what that next step might be?
Look, there could be a trial down the road. This is called an interim order. The judge ordered that the child be entitled to continue the treatment he's on. And so from my client's point of view, we'd be happy if there was no more orders. There's no more orders required. But there could be a trial down the road, in which case these issues and a number of the other issues that were raised by Dad would be addressed.
Well, we'll continue to follow this story. Barbara Frindley, thanks for joining me today.
No, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Barbara Frindley is a lawyer based out of Vancouver, and we turn it to you. What do you think about this case and some of the precedents that it sets? You can email us, daybreaknorth@cbc.ca, or call us on the listener line, 1-866-340-1932.